We're back. We are back, folks. Good to be back with you. Good to have you back with us. I am Eddie Prue, joined as always by David Cellini. This is Up Back Through, a soccer coaching podcast. And boy, yeah, we got a fun topic tonight. It is David's favorite topic. That is Serie A, 5 games underway. And it's been very fun so far. So, hey, good morning to you, David. David joins us from Linköping, Sweden. So welcome, man. Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm all right, Eddie. Good to be back. Good to hear your sweet voice again. Very happy to talk about Italy and Italian football. So yeah, good time of the year, I think, when this, like, the autumn kind of comes upon us with a lot of football. Like, almost, I feel like there's a game on every day. And like, we're about to finish seasons over here in our respective leagues in Sweden. So yeah, very interesting time of the year. Nice weather outside as well. Quite like this coloring of the leaves towards the end of the year. So yeah, doing okay. How are you doing?
Good, man. I can't agree more. It's so nice to have football back on TV regularly. And yeah, I love fall. When I was living over there in Sweden with you, the fall was always kind of the end of the season, which was bittersweet, but it was a great time of year, and I miss it. But we had some awesome nights watching lots of football, Champions League, and then just whatever games were on. So good times. But I'm glad to live vicariously through you and experience the Swedish fall. As you describe it, but that's about as good as it gets for me these days out here in Seattle. Seattle's fall is just a lot of rain. So anyway, the football is here for both of us though, so can't complain too much. So anyway, yeah, man, we're talking Serie A, your favorite subject. It's been fun so far, 5 games in, and maybe not exactly how we would have predicted. Some things probably are as we would have predicted, but some things certainly aren't. So let's start off with the league leaders, Napoli. This team is fun, man. I love watching them, and I can't wait to hear your tactical analysis. Why are they the only unbeaten team? 5 games played, 5 games won. So not only unbeaten, but they haven't dropped points at all yet. So what are they doing right?
They're doing a lot of things right. I mean, firstly, we need to just establish the fact that they have a really good squad. Like, they've built a good squad over the years. They've signed a lot of players that might not have been considered like first team starters straight away. So they've brought in a lot of young midfielders and some clever signings at the back as well. Like the likes of Rahmani coming in from Hellas Verona is one that stands out. And in midfield, they have the likes of Elmas who've come in over the last few years. And now they signed Sambo Anguissa from Fulham. So they've done some clever business and established a squad that's really interesting, because, like, for me, I love it because they have a lot of midfield players, like a lot of playmakers in, like, basically every position. So now they play often a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. The deepest midfielder is usually Fabian Ruiz, who has previously played as a 10, both at Napoli and for, I think he played for the Spanish under-21s a few years ago, played as a 10 or as one of the 8s really. But now he's a proper number 6 who controls possession and controls everything they do when they have the ball. So just there, when you place a technical passer at the base of midfield, you get a certain quality to your team, in that you know this is a team that's going to want to play the ball and focus on possession and focus on breaking teams down. That's why they play one of the best passers at the base of midfield, rather than having a more defensive, destructive player in that position. So So the new coach, Luciano Spalletti, has obviously looked at the squad and felt that, okay, we need to get as many of these playmakers as we can into the team. And I watched the game against Udinese with particular interest, wrote about it on Twitter. So if people go to my Twitter, you can find analysis of the game there. So at Dave Cellini. Also, they played yesterday against Udinese, against Sampdoria, a game I also watched. And they used Fabian Ruiz as a deepest midfielder, and then had Elmas against Udinese, and this was Zielinski yesterday against Sampdoria. And Anguissa played as their right-sided center midfielder. So they had three in midfield. They use Insigne on one on the left wing. They use Victor Osimhen as a striker, who's done perfectly so far. And then they use normally Matteo Politano or Irving Lozano on the right. So they have like options, different positions. And the defensive line is usually made up of four players, which would be Giovanni Di Lorenzo as the right back, Mario Rui as the left back, and then two out of Koulibaly, Rahmani, and Manolas in central defense. And what they do is they really try and build from the back. And one thing I really enjoy watching with them is how they use their fullbacks. So they use the fullbacks in a narrow manner. It's almost what people would have seen Pep do before with the City fullbacks, although I feel like Napoli used them in slightly deeper positions and not as far centrally as Pep did. But it gives them a really nice base. So they have always the two center backs, they had the two fullbacks narrow and Fabian Ruiz. So they have five players who's constantly looking to progress the ball forward. That allows them then to push the two central midfielders. So against Udinese, this was Elmas and Anguissa, to push them forward into the spaces behind the opponent's midfield, either side of Osimhen really, and then they can have their wingers wide. So they create kind of a 2-3-5 formation in attack. And this has seen them dominate the ball. This has seen them create a lot of chances and score a lot of goals. They have, if I'm not mistaken, 14 goals in 5 games, which is almost, you know, an average of 3 a game. So they dominate the game with the ball. They always look to play in behind with Osimhen's pace. They can always have that threat in behind. They also have some interesting rotations, especially on the left, where Insigne likes to come inside. That could see the left back go and play wide instead, and then one of the center midfielders will drop out in the left back position. So it's a team that's doing a lot of things tactically that's interesting. And I'm not going to just sit and talk about everything, and it's better that people go on Twitter and read about it and watch the images that's on there. But it's a team that plays a very intriguing style of play, especially in possession. And then apparently so far it's been very effective. So I'm intrigued to see how they will continue to develop during the season, with Spalletti implementing his ideas even further. There was a wonderful interaction between Di Lorenzo and Anguissa in the game against Udinese, where Di Lorenzo pointed to Anguissa that he should be higher up the pitch in a different position, because that position that the both of them were in only needed really one player. So he wanted Anguissa to push up to get in his proper position, but Anguissa wanted to stay a bit deeper here. So it ended up with Di Lorenzo running from right back into play as one of the situational tens, we can call them, behind the opponent's midfield. So they're very flexible, and it seems that there are a few like growing pains still there that they're not really sure what to do. But with the quality of the players and with the quality of a coach that Spalletti really has, then I'm very interested to see how far they can go. But as I mentioned, a lot of interesting players in that team. Anyone that stands out for you?
A lot of players, excuse me, stand out, to be honest. And I think that this Napoli team is kind of reaching a point where they have a lot of unique players kind of hitting their stride at the perfect time. You know, a lot of the players that are right in their prime, or a lot of players that are just really comfortable in the system and at Napoli. And it's kind of, you know, it looks like a team that is really firing on all cylinders, whether they have the depth to maintain it all season and stay healthy and keep their big performers healthy is another question. But for me, I mean, the threats can come from anywhere. you know, like you said, they kind of throw together, they put together teams in a, they shop pragmatically. They don't spend crazy money, but then they do in the case of a player like Osimhen. So they put this team together in kind of a, like a bizarre way where they, you know, they do have players that they really scouted well and got for cheap. And then they have somebody like Victor Osimhen who they, you know, just went on and splashed 80 million on. But for me, I love his style. I think he's going to have a breakout season this year. I mean, if I can say it's a breakout season, everyone knows his value. Obviously, they've, you know, paid such big money for him. But I think he will score a ton of goals this season. He's got two today, two against Leicester in the Champions League in the midweek. I just think this is the season where he's really going to break out. Insigne is just causing all sorts of havoc. He's all over the front line. He's, everything comes through him, it seems like, at times. He brings everyone into the game. And then you have players like Lozano, who's really a quality player and really comfortable at Napoli now and showing his class. Elmas is a lively little Macedonian, you know, like they just have options. Politano, like you said, Zielinski is another player that's, I think, fantastic in midfield alongside Marco Fabian. And then you have, you know, players like, then you have a player like Koulibaly, who's been there forever. He's very comfortable. He's captaining the team when he's in the team. So I think it's a good mix of, you know, like kind of a bunch of different types of players. And I'm very excited to see how far they can go and what they can do together. Because when I see them play, they play the type of football that really is sustainable and really is enjoyable. I think they're always looking for the, like, an extra pass. They're never, like, rushed in the attack. They can play on the counter with, when they have someone like Osimhen who can just blow by anybody who he faces. And their set pieces are all very sharp. You know, they've obviously been well drilled on set pieces. So I'm interested to see where they'll be in 10 games from now and then 15 and 20 down the road. So anyway, fun to see them at the top of the table for now. But who do you see as their, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I'm just going to add to your set piece business there, because I mean, if you, I assume you are thinking about especially the, was it the second goal against Udinese where they played that free kick routine with they play the ball like short and then there's a diagonal run and the ball is clipped over to Koulibaly who hits it first time and then Rahmani pops up in front of goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
They use these routines very cleverly and I think they scored Koulibaly two already, I think, in the league. So very much, as you said, they're very drilled. And well drilled at that in that department. And I mean, in terms of what they do in attack, like as you mentioned, the Leicester game there in the Europa League, that they were 2-0 down. They looked like, despite having a good performance, that they looked like they were gonna leave England without a point. But I mean, they obviously have a mentality in the team and got back and got a goal back and then got a second goal and left England with a draw instead. So like they obviously have some kind of mentality in the team that tells them not to give up, which is obviously good, and that's something that should also be happy news for Spalletti, who's only been there 5 games. So that's obviously something that might have been already in the group, and he might have been able to heighten those sentiments since he came in. And I just want to take everything back to, as you said, like the style again. Fabian Ruiz playing at the base of the midfield. He is really, I think, the player here. Like Insigne is incredibly important in attack, but Fabian Ruiz is like the glue who links everything together. And we spoke about him that I think it was you who said that if Juventus wanted to sign a midfielder, when we spoke about Juventus in a pod in the spring, that he was going to be one of those players that they could target. And he's showing now why. And as we'll come to later, Juventus have their own issues. But Fabian Ruiz, the form he's in right now, he's scoring goals, he's controlling play. And he's really helped by these two narrow fullbacks, because when Napoli attack and say Insigne puts a cross in or whatever and the ball is cleared, they always have the two fullbacks and Fabian Ruiz just outside the penalty area ready to win a second ball. And that allows Napoli to like constantly come back in wave after wave in attack rather than just having to sprint back 50 meters to deal with a counterattack. So yeah, I just wanted to add that to what you were saying.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's another reason why they look so dangerous and so comfortable. And it looks like they really are enjoying their football. And yeah, like one more thing on Fabian Ruiz, he's already scored one fantastic, you know, long range effort, a little bit like the Rodri goal that we saw for City a couple weeks ago, where he basically just passes it into the corner from, you know, 20 plus yards out. But he's also, I mean, he loves that position that, you know, like you said, he is the glue. And Anguissa is really performing well also. And that's another sign of a team that's, you know, confident and comfortable and enjoying their football, is when a player like Anguissa, who is experienced, don't take anything away from him, but he hasn't played in Italy before, when he can come into the team and just feel comfortable and you know, enjoy his football right away, I think that's another sign of a team that is dangerous and that, like I said, is enjoying their football. But Fabian Ruiz, can't say enough good things about him, and he's going to score some more bangers this year. I know that. And he knocked one off the post against, I think, Fiorentina. That was, it would have been a great goal. But anyway, moving on. So they're at the top of the table, close on their heels is Inter. Inter lost Lukaku this summer, obviously, in the big money move to Chelsea. They don't seem to be struggling too much without him. Hard to say what they'd look like if he had stayed at the moment, but they look to have replaced him with Edin Dzeko, and it looks like they're doing well. So what do you have to say about what they're doing?
Yeah, if you said that Napoli look dangerous going forward, I mean, Inter have scored 18 in 5 games. So they're almost averaging 4 a game. So they're definitely doing some things right in front of goal. And the arrival of Dzeko, he hasn't played like every game. Like they played Lautaro Martinez with another signing, Joaquin Correa, in a few of the games. And then they played Lautaro with Dzeko at the midweek game here against Fiorentina. So they apparently have options again. Like last season, sometimes they looked a bit short when they only had Martinez and Lukaku, and they also obviously they had Sanchez, who could come in and play, and did play, and he did play his part, but he's still there as well. So going from 3 options, they now have 4 with Correa and Sanchez behind Dzeko and Martinez, and they all can also play someone like Stefano Sensi off the front, like I think they did in the first game when they had a really nice midfield dynamic with Brozovic, Barella, Çalhanoğlu, who's come in and done well, and Sensi. So they have a lot of options, and like one of the biggest threats will come from the wings, where they have Perisic on the left, who's always dangerous, always someone who can create something out of nothing with his trickery, with his crossing, with his ability to cut inside and shoot, or really shoot with both feet, so he can go on the outside as well. And then from the right, Matteo Darmian is doing better than anyone would have expected going forward. But Denzel Dumfries is someone who's also looked like a really good replacement for Hakimi. So in terms of their signings, they've done brilliantly. And we mentioned this when we talked about the coaches coming in and out of Italian clubs, that Simone Inzaghi would be a really good fit for Inter, because he plays a similar system to Antonio Conte. But he's also slightly more focused on keeping the ball and playing a certain style when they have the ball, rather than just always focusing on counterattacking. Although counterattacking is a big part of his philosophy as well, but it feels like he's liberating the players a bit more than Conte did, which can have this very positive effect, in that some of these, they have so many creators, and some of these creators will feel like they enjoy football because the shackles from Conte will have been taken off them in a way. And that base with a back three with Bastoni, De Vrij and Skriniar ahead of Handanovic gives them such a nice balance to the team as well. They have the left-footed Bastoni, who's brilliant on the ball. They have Skriniar who can step up and join the attack as well. And then with the pace they have out wide and the quality they have in wide areas, and I mean, all those players I mentioned in midfield, and then you add the two strikers, whoever they play up front, you have a team that's going to be very difficult to stop because they can attack from wide areas, they can attack centrally, they could play through teams with the level of technicality they have in midfield, but they could also go long into Dzeko and bypass a team that presses them aggressively. So they have a lot of weapons to use. And one thing that I find very interesting is to see how clear they are on what to do when they reach the final third, especially when they're about to cross the ball. And I did a thread on this on Twitter as well, so people can go and check it out. But largely it's about imagine Dumfries gets the ball on the right. So when Inter prepare to attack the box, the first player in will always attack the back post. So Lautaro Martinez, for example, if he's the first player into the box and Dumfries has the ball on the right, he will attack the back post. The idea here, I think, I don't know because I'm not Inzaghi, is to prevent the defense to drop off at, like, too early. Because if they drop early, they kill the space between the defensive line and the goalkeeper that the players on the wing will like to hit. And then Inter have another player, so the second player in will be positioned like centrally, very close to, for example, Martinez. So they will, in a way, occupy the defensive line again to stay up. So the first center back in this case will be looking like backwards to see where the second player is. And then that prevents them from dropping. And then when the ball is played in, the Inter players can attack it at pace, whereas the defenders have to run backwards towards their own goal, which I think we'll see Inter score a few goals from own goals as well, because when defenders face their own goal and try to clear the ball, it's obviously a dangerous situation. So go to Twitter to check out the full thread, but like stuff like that is very interesting to how methodical they are, but also how free they are at times in the way they play. So they look very interesting, very intriguing going forward. I don't think they control games with the ball as well as Napoli do. But I think that with the quality they have, they will definitely be in and about all through the season.
Yeah, agreed. The quality is definitely there. The experience is definitely there with players like Kolarov, Ranocchia has been in the league for, you know, De Vrij, Skriniar, basically their entire back line, all the options they have on their back line. And then through midfield, Arturo Vidal, and you know, the players have been in the league for a long. Calhanoglu, all the, and any team with Barella in it has a chance at winning whatever they're playing for. To be honest, I think he's one of the best midfielders in Europe right now. And yeah, and then again up top you have the big and little combo of Dzeko and Martinez, and Correa was a great offseason signing, picking him up on a free, I believe, from Lazio. So. Yeah, options, and like you said, the flexibility to attack in all these different ways, you know, play through the middle, play on the wings. It's going to be tough to keep them down, but it'll be interesting to see if Napoli can do it. So moving on then again, so one of the teams that's not really at the top of the table or too near to the top of the table at the moment, five games played, already 6 points off the tops, and this is no surprise, but it's fun to watch them, and I think they deserve a little bit of a shout out from up back through, and that's Fiorentina. So we've touched on Dusan Vlahovic several times, it seems, throughout a few episodes, but what can you tell us about what they're doing?
They have a new coach, Vincenzo Italiano, who did really well with Spezia last season and caught the eye for the way they played in some big games, especially against Milan. But I mean, they're a wonderful team to watch, and like for someone who's watched Italian football for as long as I have, it's brilliant to see Fiorentina back being a good team. I mean, they're not going to win the league. They're not going to get relegated. They're going to be in and about challenging for European places, which is normal. Like, that's what you could expect from them. They have a good squad and they have a good coach. And tactically, the main thing that stands out is the way they press. So they play in a 4-3-3 basically every game. And the way they press is quite heavily oriented to be man for man. So... They they played Inter the other night, as mentioned, and they were one of the teams that I think Inter will struggle the most with in terms of building play, because Fiorentina was so aggressive. They were extremely good at cutting off Inter's possibilities to play the ball into the center where they want to keep it with the three midfielders they have. But they were really good at closing people down. They're extremely aggressive. They sprint into press and they keep pressing all over the pitch, which sees teams never get that. Like, you know, from when you play, when sometimes teams press you and then they drop off. So you get that kind of a breather and then you can build the play more methodically. But Fiorentina never rest. They just keep going and going and going. So they're extremely, extremely difficult to play against. And I mean, tactically, they prepare well. They had some nice ideas on how to press Inter. So I would like recommend people to watch that game if they want to, especially the first half where Fiorentina were 1-0 up. But, you know, if you couple the quality of again, some of the players they have, some of the young players they brought in, someone like Nico Gonzalez, for example, with a good up-and-coming coach like Italiano, who has good ideas, and this very intense style of play that's going to be difficult for a lot of teams, it's also risky in a way, because if you commit people to press, you obviously leave space in behind. So I think some teams will benefit from that and be able to beat Fiorentina. But I reckon that the positives will outweigh the negatives. And it's going to be really to see how Italiano can tweak his system with the higher level of quality he has in this squad than he had at Spezia. So it doesn't have to be as focused on the defensive side, like closing teams down, than it is like creating chances yourself. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Fiorentina be among the teams that scored the most goals from counterattacks, because they're going to win the ball in the attacking half so much this season with the way they press. And this, it's really aggressive, like man-oriented press. I think teams will struggle to deal with the intensity and the energy of this Fiorentina team.
Well said, yeah. And a little bit like, you know, we've talked about teams that build their squads in a very frugal and kind of like, you know, scouting based way. This is Fiorentina is definitely one of those teams. They got, you know, they'll have signings from random places all thrown together, and sometimes they work out. Most of the time they do work out. And you know, in the case of a player like Dusan Vlahovic, where the, you know, they were first to him, they saw this talent from Eastern Europe, and they've kind of done that with several other players, and also, you know, bringing in experience with a player like Callejon. You know, other players that have just proven themselves in the league for years, like Saponara. But they've got some good South American talent. I really like Eric Pulgar and Nico Gonzalez. Gonzalez did really well in Germany for several years, and he's fitting in really well in Italy. And on the back line, I think they've built a nice center back pair with Nastasic and Nikola Milenkovic. For me, I think he'll probably be a player that will make a move to a bigger club in the coming years. He's young. He's a very big guy. He's 6'5". So I think he's been proving himself in Serie A for a little while now. I wouldn't be surprised to see him move on at some point. But it's a fun team. I love teams that are built like that and well coached. And like you said, they're not going to win the league. They're not going to get relegated. But hopefully, I mean, you never. They could steal a Champions League spot. It's not impossible. So very fun team to watch, though, for sure. Rounding out the top four, then we have Milan, we have Roma in fourth, Atalanta, nowhere to be seen though is Juventus, all the way down in 12th. Take your pick. Do you want to which team do you want to talk about out of those?
I think we just need to address Juve quickly, because the results haven't gone their way, obviously, and they haven't looked that impressive. I mean, the game against, I think it was Empoli, when they lost at home, where Empoli, for large part, were actually the better team, was probably the biggest miscalculation, if you can call it that, of how they wanted the season to start. Because they obviously wanna keep the home record I've had for so many years, especially under Allegri the first time he was here, where they basically never lost at home and they beat teams in Europe for fun when they came to Turin. So I think with Juventus they're going to be fine. The problem for them now is that the other teams like Napoli and Inter have started so well, so there's already a lot of a lot of points to make up. They're 8 points behind Inter, 10 points behind Napoli. So if those two teams remain consistent, Juventus will struggle to keep up with them. So winning the league might prove difficult, even though we still have 33 games to go and Juventus will play Inter twice and they will play Napoli again. But the big thing I think that Napoli and Inter have done well is that they've looked at the squad, they've added to it quickly and efficiently to suit their new coaches, whereas Juventus, I'm not sure they have done that. They have a lot of problems financially and haven't really been able to strengthen in a way that I think Allegri would have wanted. They did bring in Manuel Locatelli, and I think it's been a slow start for him, but I think he's looking the part. He's gonna do well in that midfield given time. So I think the big thing for Juve is sorting out the defense, and I think Allegri is a coach. He will slowly transition this team into a defensive block that keeps opponents outside them, and they will be very aggressive when teams try and play through them, and then they will be more passive when the ball's maybe at the opponents, you know, when the defenders have it and they play outside, because Juve will just shift and try and block and block the center and then be very aggressive when they feel like this is a certain pressing trigger, we can go and press. They haven't really gotten that to work yet, and I think they're a bit slow in possession. They haven't been able to break teams down in the way they would have wanted. That being said, they looked better against Spezia the other night when they recorded the first win of the season. So I think Juventus will be a team that right now is the laughingstock of Italian football, because everyone loves to see Juventus doing badly, especially given the dominance we've seen from them over the last decade when they won 9 out of 10 titles. So for them to be down in 12 of the 5 games will definitely cause a lot of people to smile. But I would reckon Juventus will slowly but surely climb the table, and when we reach May, they will definitely be in the top four. And depending on how the other teams do at the top, they might even be in to challenge for the title. It's just taken a bit longer than expected for Allegri to sort this team out, which tells you something about the turmoil that this club has been through. I mean, they have a lot of good players, but when the club is in a kind of chaotic manner with directors leaving and new sporting directors coming in and new coaches coming in and everything that's happened with the financial state, that takes a bigger toll on the playing squad than people might expect, I think. So definitely interesting to see how they go about solving those issues and if Allegri can lift them up the table.
Agreed. People underestimate the impact that all that stuff that seems like it doesn't have anything to do with the actual football, the actual team and the training and everything, that stuff has a huge impact. And so I think you're right about that. I think that is the thing that's making the difference for them. But it is fun to see them down there right now, not because I don't like Juventus, just because I think that they have the quality and the experience to then sort it out under Allegri and then, you know, chase from behind, which I think they'll do. They just have too much talent. This team is not going to stay down for long. So it'll be fun to see them climb the table. And so what's your prediction for the season? Who do you think in your heart of hearts is going to win the Scudetto this year?
I would say, I think Inter will win. I think they're the most complete team. Inzaghi has never won a league, but with this squad, I think he has a really good chance of doing that. And Napoli, I think they've looked probably the most impressive so far, but as you said, their squad isn't as strong in when you talk about player 15, 16, 17, 18 as Inter's is. And I think that will be the difference. Also, depends a lot on the fitness of the likes of Osimhen, the likes of Koulibaly. If they can keep fit, Napoli will be in challenge. But I think Inter will do it. Unless I wouldn't count Juventus out, to be honest. Like, I wouldn't count them out, because I think if there was a season, I don't remember the exact year, but Roma started the season winning 10 games and Juventus were languishing mid-table when we came into like October or something. And then they basically won every game and won the league quite comfortably. So I wouldn't count them out from being, I think they'll be in the top three. I'm leaning towards Inter to retain the title.
Yeah, I wish I could say something different than you, but I think that's the case. Like you said, Napoli have played the best football so far, but they're not, you know, they're not as deep, they're not as robust of a squad. And if they do lose a player like Insigne or Koulibaly or Fabian Ruiz, it's going to be, you know, it's probably not going to turn out they're not going to be able to sustain these performances over the course of an entire season. Juventus could climb back up. I don't count it out, but I think Inter will retain. They have the experience, they have the squad. I don't think Milan will end up challenging. They've started well also, but I don't see them challenging for the Scudetto. And Roma, fun to see Mourinho doing his thing, sprinting down the sideline. But that squad is not going to win you the title, I'm sorry to say. I agree with you. I think it'll be Inter at the end of the season. So that's a wrap. That's a wrap on a brief Serie A review for after the first five games. It's been really fun. It's been one of the most exciting leagues to watch thus far. What else? Do you have anything else to add before we get out of here?
Nah, I'm happy with that. Again, I said it last week, or whenever last week was for us in terms of the pod, that people should go and watch Italian football. I'm going to say we here. We have a wonderful league. Make sure you tune in for the weekend's action. It's going to be some good games. Hopefully some of these teams we've discussed will continue to do well. And as I mentioned, head to running the show, blog.wordpress.com to check out some of the articles we've done there lately, including a debut from Jack McCormack, who's joined the team on a temporary basis. We'll see if he wants to stick around for long, but he's going to publish a few pieces for us. And then obviously to Twitter, where I have done a bunch of threads on tactics, especially Inter and Napoli. So at Dave Cellini, go and check that out as well. That's the last words from me, I think.
Yeah, good on you to plug those things. That the Napoli piece that you did was fantastic. I saw it all over Twitter. So yeah, get out there and watch some Serie A, people. That's the doctor's orders. Or the professor, as we call him, il professor David Cellini. But anyway, yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. That's Serie A after five games, and we will be back very soon with another topic. So take care, stay safe, enjoy that fall weather, and we will be back soon enough. All right, bye, everybody.